Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Another State is the UK's first ever dynamic pop country crossover male harmony band. The group consists of four talented vocalists: Sean Ryder-Wolfe, Paul McDowell, James Gibson, and Dave Staton. They are known for their unique sound that bridges the gap between pop and country. Their music guides you through an emotional voyage across the terrains of love and relationships, the exhilaration of pursuing dreams, and spontaneous late-night escapades. Imagine a harmonious fusion that effortlessly merges pop's catchy appeal with the genuine essence of raw country music, nostalgic yet still boldly pushing boundaries. Dave Staton, whose professional actor name Dave Perkins, was an actor prior to Another State. He was cast as a main role in the BBC drama The Gallows Pole, directed by prestigious director Shane Meadows. Paul McDowell is a highly experienced singer performing all over the world. He has been in shows such as Legally Blonde and Burn the Floor. He has performed for Theresa May and supported Take That. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Paul McDowell and Dave Staton from Another State. Paul, where are you first? Where are you in the world and how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you for asking. I am in Portsmouth,
all the way south, pretty much.
And Dave?
I'm from just outside of Sheffield, up north.
So is that a far journey from each other?
Yeah. I mean, for me to get into London, it's about a 3-hour drive. And then Paul's, you know, further down from that.
So okay. Paul, starting with you first. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you feel cool? You want to be in this creative world, this music world, or this entertainment world. And how did that journey progress?
Yeah, I started quite late, actually. I got through all of school and pretty much secondary and then sort of came into an opportunity where it was a Grease performance and I had to sort of help out the PE teacher because he got cold feet. And I jumped in with 2 days notice and, you know, haven't looked back really. Went on to college and then drama school and I've been singing ever since. So, yeah.
And how did you meet the rest of the band from Another State?
So we've collectively gigged together a few times and we've done a few other bits and pieces and then kind of wanted to work on a project together. And Sean mentioned about these originals and we sort of came together and formed Another State.
Dave, let's start over to you. So at what age as a child or teenager did you feel cool? You want to be in this creative world and how did that journey progress?
So yeah, when I was a child, I used to, I'd get up on a karaoke now and again and I would sing Frank Sinatra, My Way. And it used to always get like a good reception. So I sort of knew that I could sing, but it was never sort of an option to me as a child or a school age boy to go to music school or drama school or anything like that. It wasn't really on the cards for me. So I was actually working as a full-time mechanic at the time. And I was also, believe it or not, competing as a boxer and cage fighter and kickboxer and stuff. And I actually broke a couple of ribs in a fight when I was 26. And I thought, you know what, there's got to be an easier way to make money on the side. So I decided to start singing. And I bought, you know, some equipment and just went out around local pubs and just said, can I do some singing for you at weekends? And it sort of went from there and just went from strength to strength. I started getting offered bigger gigs and larger shows. And yeah, and then I was able to quit my job as a mechanic and do it full time.
And did you have a similar experience meeting the rest of the guys from Another State as Paul?
Sean was originally in a band called Jackpack that were on Britain's Got Talent. And when they finished on the show, they were looking for an extra member. One of their members had to leave, so they were looking for an extra member. And I was one of the guys that got a call to audition for that. So that's how I originally met Sean quite some years ago now. And I didn't get the job. Somebody else got the job in that instance, and I'd literally just started singing professionally then. So very inexperienced at the time, and Sean was always quite keen on having me in the Jackpack originally, but that didn't work out. And then years later, I got a call from Sean again asking if I wanted to go in depth for those boys doing some other stuff when he was still in the band. So I started working with Sean a little bit there. And then, yes, at the time when he called me and mentioned that he was looking at setting up another band and he wanted me to be in it, I jumped at the chance.
Dave, you also did some acting. Are you still doing acting?
Yeah, so I'm still doing bits and pieces. That all came about a couple of years ago now. I saw an advert from Shane Meadows, who's obviously quite a big director in the UK. And he was looking for non-professional actors from Yorkshire to take part in a new BBC drama. So I sent a video off introducing myself, and then I got asked to send another video, and then I got asked to audition in person, and I ended up getting a main character role in The Gallows Pole, which is on BBC iPlayer now. And since then, I just thought, it's a great. I love acting, all things, acting, singing, the creative world, like you said. So, decided to try and continue that. So I've done a couple of short films and stuff since then. Just had a nice audition recently, but I can't really talk too much about that because I don't know if I've got it or not. So yeah, I am still going down that avenue, pursuing the acting career at the same time as working with the band. And we just have to wait and see, won't we, as to how that works out.
So let's put our fingers across that you get that audition. So we'll be hearing about that shortly. So Paul, you referenced that on social media and stuff that you've been doing stuff with makeup. What is actually you've been doing?
Okay, so at the minute I'm doing a Halloween show in London. It's the London Cabaret Club, and yeah, it's a show we put on just for the weekend, and it's
Okay.
called Aldea of the Dead.
So is that like sort of a theatre type production? Oh, you mentioned cabaret, so it's like singing and.
Yes. Yeah, it's everything. So, it's your ideal night out. You come out and you have food, and you have drink, and you have three acts of singing, dancing, and we have incredible speciality as well, and a DJ after. So it's the full night out. It's great. I've been there about 10 years as a resident singer, so it's a lot of fun.
You mentioned you're there as a resident singer, so obviously it's not always sort of a show with makeup. Is it just normal other on other times it's just like a normal a singing show?
Absolutely, yeah. So we've just finished Copacabana last week, and then next week we go into our Gatsby show. So
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
that's something that I do, on the side when I'm not, with the boys writing new stuff and creating new music. Yeah, that's my full-time job.
For the listeners, we previously interviewed Sean and James for the podcast. Listen to that episode for more information on those guys. But Dave and Paul, so the creative process with regards to the band, what invigorates it? What motivates it? What is it easy every time? Let's dive into your guys' creative process as part of the Another State Band. So Paul, you first.
Okay, so we are spoiled. We've got an incredible team around us. Guys that have, co-written with, Nicki Minaj, and we've got producers, incredible producers also, and Sean as well in-house. He is the brains behind most of our great songs. It will start with like a tiny little idea, and it will sort of come from nowhere. You can never really predict when Sean's gonna just stop and start singing a song to you. And we all sort of indulge, and we sort of throw ideas around, and then it just becomes this, the songs that you hear today. And but yeah, it's always Sean to start with, and he always has this melody or a lyric or two. And like I say, you could be mid-conversation and he'll just sing it at you, and everyone has to stop, and we all go, right, let's give this 5 minutes. And then it goes away to the rest of the team as well. But in terms of myself, I sort of think that when it comes to the arranging side of things, that's kind of when I sort of have my two pennies worth. I can sort of hear a track and know exactly who's going to sing what. And Dave has an incredible sort of low end. He's got like a real rich bassy voice. So I always hear, I'm like, okay, Dave needs to go there. And then maybe James on a higher harmony and stuff like that. So in terms of my creativity, it'd be the arranging of the songs.
And has that always been something that you've had a knack for, hearing the different voices? Or is this something that you actually only realized came through when you were started doing this music with another state?
For me, musically, I'm able to sort of hear and play things. You know, I'm not trained in any instrument, but I can hear and play and pick up things quite quickly. So I've got a great ear for things. But it's definitely developed along the way. And, you know, hanging around with Sean sort of helps, you know. You can't help but sort of get inspired, you know, and help create. So yeah, there's been a lot of learning curves along this way. Yeah, for sure.
Dave, so anything to add on the creative space side?
No, not really. I mean, Sean's a monster for coming up with great melodies, great sort of choruses and stuff. And then, you know, we have got a great team there as well that help out with the writing side of things. Personally, I like to be directed more. Do you know what I mean? I like somebody to say, right, you sing it for me how you want me to sing it, and I'll repeat it, you know, and I can imitate or you know, put my own sort of spin on it. But we all sort of get involved. We're all involved in the, obviously, the singing of all the songs, and also the arrangement of who sings what. We all have our ideas and say, you know, I think I'd be good at that line, or he'd be good at that line. But yeah, a lot of the actual writing is done by Sean. Really comes up with the main idea, and then we have a couple of outside people that help with the writing as well. And it, yeah, it's just a total process between us all, really, to get the final product.
So you guys are the first band that's crossing over, UK band that is, that's crossing over pop over country. Sean previously mentioned in the previous episode that the idea came to me as like another state of mind, another concept, another way of looking at things. So, Paul, your thoughts first. Why do you feel that no other band or no other artist in the UK has ventured into this space of creating this way?
I feel it's probably due to the popularity of it. You know, a few years ago, country would be considered, well, you wouldn't hear much of it at all, really. And it sort of coincides with, you know, if the big greats like Beyonce and you know, Post Malone are now you know, releasing country albums. You know that, you know, it's a genre that has to be taken serious. And I feel like, you know, we've kind of hit the right timing with this, you know, and I really feel that our music, and with it being a country pop, it's not just purely country as well.
Yeah.
It's a good gateway into country and, you know, the way that the charts are headed now. So, yeah, another state, here we go.
Dave, anything to add?
No, just similar. It's massive at the minute, country. It's becoming a lot more mainstream than it ever was. And I think a lot of people probably, they go one way or another. So you might get somebody that wants to do country music. They're literally just into country music, and that's all they sort of do. And we're much more, I suppose, from a pop background, that want to venture into the country. So we're coming at it from a slightly different angle, where we're using like hooks and melodies that you would have in pop, but then we're putting country music over the top of it and stuff to try and get that blend. And it's a real original and exciting prospect to, you know, hear what's coming out. It's some of the songs that we've got that we've just recently recorded that aren't due to be released just yet. Incredible, you know, some of the stuff that we've just been working on.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to you guys for all the hard work that you do and that creative process. I'm not sure if you're aware, you may be aware, but vinyl, CDs, even cassettes are a massive comeback. So in the UK, vinyls last year, 5.9 million sales, the biggest since 1990. In Asia, they just reopened a factory that had been closed for 50 years. Also in the UK, you guys have a basket of products that they gauge the exchanges of hand to hand for tax purpose or some sort of purposes. Vinyls have been in that basket of goods for longest periods. And now CDs are back into that basket of goods because of their upsurge. And the research is showing that it is the teenagers, the younger kids that are diving into that world, not the older nostalgic people. But then we've also got these streaming platforms that people consume music on. So Dave, first, what are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
I think it's very difficult, to be honest with you, especially with all the streaming platforms. I was told by somebody recently that there's 23 million songs a day being uploaded to Spotify. So to get noticed within all that is very difficult. And obviously with modern technology and people being able to just mix beats and songs and samples and stuff on a normal laptop in their own bedroom, it's not like it was back in the day when it was more sort of quality over quantity. Now, like, anybody can just upload anything they want. So that I think there is a kind of the market is a lot more watered down, if you like, than it ever was before. But I think it's really interesting that younger people are getting into the old vinyls and stuff. I mean, obviously, I remember, my dad and my mum having vinyls and listening to them. But yeah, for the younger generation, I suppose it's new to them, isn't it? So it's like anything else that comes along that's new, they want to jump on it. And to them, it's like a new, like, you can imagine them seeing they're used to Spotify and iPods and all that, and then they see this big vinyl record. They probably think that that's quite cool, which it is. But yeah, it's just old technology that's getting reborn, which I think is fantastic. I think it's amazing that people are starting to do that again.
Paul, anything to add?
I just think we are spoilt for choice now. If you're on Spotify and Apple iTunes, you could just listen and scroll for days. But actually having that physical CD and dedicating 1 hour to listening to that band for the duration, it's just something a lot greater about that. Giving your time to the whole album and not just listening to the one song or half a song and then skipping on, because that is what you tend to do on Spotify. So I can see, and I'm glad that I wasn't aware of that knowledge, and I'm glad that it's sort of coming back. I'm a big fan of vinyl.
It's also interesting because I've speak to a lot of people who sort of are, they're consumers of music. They maybe will go to a concert every now and then. They stream music. Maybe they're not necessarily physical buyers. And I was speaking to a bunch of them a few couple of days ago, and I said to them, if a artist has 100 million streams of a song, how much money or how much do you think they get out of that? And their response was 50 million. And I was like, well, actually, no, it's only 1,000 or 2,000 or 1,500. And they were shocked. So there's also, I think, a need to for education to the consumers to understand that the exchange needs to become more balanced for the artists, for the writers, because at the moment it's, much heavier on the other end. And they don't realize this, they don't understand it, and they don't know what's actually happening. And I think as Snoop Dogg's been speaking about it, Ray, that singer's been speaking a lot about it. And I think there just needs to be more communication around that element of the discussion, because a lot of the consumers don't realize actually the exchange of hands, what's happening in the industry.
Yeah, I think it's very heavily lent now towards the consumer. So, like, you can go on Apple Music, you can go on Spotify, and you can listen to somebody's latest album. You can skip through it very quickly and think, "Oh, I never listen to it again," and that's it. Whereas before, when you didn't have that option and the downloads and the streams, you literally, if you wanted to hear somebody's latest album, you would have to go and purchase that album. And obviously, as we know, a lot more that gives the artist a lot more value if you're actually purchasing the album or the single or whatever it is in physical form than all these streams and downloads. I mean, the artist hardly gets anything from that. So yeah, I do think it was a lot better for the artists, and it was a lot better for sort of the quality of the industry when people had to actually physically go out and buy something. And like you said, there is something about having that physical representation there as well. I think everything is so heavily now aimed at the consumer being able to consume lots and lots. It sort of, I don't think it benefits the artists, but that's the world that we're in at the moment. I don't know which way it's going to go or how it's going to change, but yeah, it's a strange shift.
Gone are the days of you saving pocket money to buy your new favorite single or your new favorite album, because that was me.
Well, I still do that, as I said. I budget for my CDs every month. In South Africa, there's no more CD shops. They've closed all them down. You've got maybe a couple
Oh,
of
that's sad.
vinyl play shops. So when I get my CDs, I have to order them from Amazon UK because there's no place to get them here. But I mean, like in you guys, and you've got HMV and that massive HMV in Oxford Street reopened last year, that 5-story one, whatever, because of the upsurge. Paul, you mentioned this about the understanding of hearing, the different tones of the voices and know how to arrange that. So I'm not sure if you guys are aware of NLP. So NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. So that's the way people process information. And every person in the world processes information differently, but we're all assuming that everyone's processing the same as us, which is causing a lot of the breakdowns of communication in the world. But now part of NLP is there are three process disciplines, so to speak. And each of us have a dominant one, a secondary one, and a tertiary one. Something kicks into gear as we are children to allow us to think, okay, cool, this is my dominant one, so and so forth. So dominant means that you'll be in it most of the day. Secondary, you maybe be in it a couple of hours. Tertiary, you might not even tap into that one at all. So there are three of them, as I mentioned. They are visual people. So visual people create pictures of the information that they're receiving. So the people listening to me now, if you're a visual person, they'll start seeing the pictures in their mind of what we're talking about. Auditory people, it's about the audio. So they hear a word, they understand the word, they put it into a sentence, they understand the sentence and put it into a paragraph. So it's all about the audio elements that they hear are hearing. They don't see any pictures. Then you've got kinesthetic people. Kinesthetic people, it's about the body language, the tone of voice, the energy, the emotion, and the feeling of what is being portrayed. So they hear or see all the information that they're receiving, and then they break down those elements. So now I'd like from each of you, focusing specifically on music, because it might be different in different areas of your life. But when you guys hear a song of your own or by other artists, Paul first, are you creating pictures? Are you hearing the words, or is it about the feeling?
It's a great question. For me, I'm hearing the music before I even process the lyrics. I'm listening to the melody and the chord structure, and automatically I go to like my brain's like, oh, I would have done that differently, or I would have done this and done that before I then listen to the story. So there's like two parts for me. So it's the music, and then lyrically, and then I indulge. Is this good? Is this good writing? So yeah, it's two-part process for me, and I can decide whether I like a song before I've even fully listened to the lyrics, which is crazy because if there's a nice chord structure and melody, I'm invested, and then the story time. So yeah, that would be my process for sure.
And Dave, for you?
I would say quite similar. For me, it's all about the sort of melody and the feel of it. I would say it would be what I would listen to that would attract me to a song. I don't think I particularly, think about pictures like images as I'm hearing stuff. It's more the lyrics and the words and the processing of those words like that goes in rather than in a pictorial sort of form. But yeah, I think for me it's definitely hearing. So for example, a chorus and just getting a feel for the flow of it and how it, the melody essentially, how it moves, how it flows, and how it feels when you're singing it in your throat and everything. And that's what attracts me to a particular song.
Okay, so asking you first, Dave, when you're listening to songs by other artists, are you able to just relax and to listen to it for what it is, or is your creative brain unpacking what is actually heard?
I'd say that I can listen to stuff and just relax in it and enjoy it for what it is, to be perfectly honest with you. I can also then sit down and go, oh wow, that was, what note was that, or what, that guitar riff was this, and I can break things down as well. But I do think generally I like to just enjoy things for what they are and not be over. I have that problem with acting quite a lot now because in the acting world, obviously you've got scenes are filmed over and over again, the same
Yes.
scene to get the best option, and they do it from different angles and stuff like that. And what you don't realize until you've actually been on a set is it's very difficult if there's food or drink involved, especially for that pint, what you've got in your hand or whatever, it's got to be at the same level through that whole scene. And if you have a sip or whatever and it changes. So when I'm watching a film or a TV show now, I'm very like that. I'm always looking at the, you know, what's happening and is the continuity right on that. But with music, I don't feel like that now. With music, I can just enjoy it for what it is and relax.
And Paul, you?
Oh, I'm a massive unpacker for sure.
Yeah.
I hear it, and then I literally my brain goes off, and I start, analyzing, and it's frustrating. But I am able to switch it off. I can switch it off,
Okay.
and I can be annoying to be around as well, because I'll be like, oh, I would have done that differently, or but it's like, just stop, enjoy, relax. I do the shows, and I'm like, oh, I wonder why they did it like that and not like this. And yeah, it and movies, I'm exactly the same. So it is frustrating, but I am able to switch it off, and I am aware of when I'm being annoying. But yeah, I'd like to, because I've got a very creative brain. And even back to the previous question, I hear music, and I see the music video. I see ideas, and I see, oh, that would have been cool, and this and that and this. So yeah, I am a massive unpacker for sure. And but yeah, I mean, I'm in control always.
So I love this next game. I know if I had to ask you guys this question in 2 minutes later, 5 years later, 15 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. Paul, you're going to have a chance to think because Dave, you're going first. So Dave, if you had to push play to five songs by other artists, or if you just mentioned five artists, if you can't think of specific songs, what would those artists and potentially songs be?
Okay. Michael Jackson was always I was a big fan of him growing up. Man in the Mirror, I think in particular was an incredible song. Freddie Mercury would be another one, and Queen. And I would say I'm a big fan of you know, We Are the Champions, Bohemian Rhapsody, those sort of songs. I think he was an incredible vocalist and an incredible writer as well. One of my favorite songs that I love to sing when I'm doing solo shows is by Take That, and that's Rule the World,
Yeah.
which again I love that song. I think it's a real anthem. And then
Two
four
more.
would be definitely Frank Sinatra, who again I've always. For some reason, I've always loved it. And everybody used to say to me, like, you know, like, was it your parents that got, and it wasn't at all. Like, my parents never listened to Frank Sinatra or swing music. I just loved him from being a little boy, you know, listening to New York, New York, My Way, you know, I've Got You Under My Skin and all that. It just invoked some sort of emotion in me that I can't explain. But yeah, and then after that, one more.
Yeah.
I would say,
Dave, have you heard of
so
a band called Another State?
yeah, them, they're great.
Yeah, they're great. They are.
Yeah, they're amazing. I'm just trying to think. It's a difficult one. It is really hard to think because a lot of my stuff that I like is not what other people would like, I suppose. But it's personal, isn't it? But
Yeah.
yeah, I would go. I'm gonna go on with it. With a one that I'll probably get ridiculed for, and that's Michael Bublé. And again, that's just because he sort of brought that music back to being popular again. You know, the old swing, that sort of style, it was sort of dead and it was gone. And he made that back to being cool again. And I actually, when I first started being a professional singer as a solo artist, I did a Michael Bublé tribute for years. And yeah, I love his personality. I think he's great on stage. And yeah, so I'll go with Mr. Bublé.
Paul, you're five.
Yeah, I mean, very similar to Dave, and probably the other two boys as well, because we've got very similar music tastes, which always helps, when it comes to us writing music. But straight off the bat, it's Frank Sinatra. I've actually got him tattooed on my arm. Big fan, Frank Sinatra. So I'd go My Way, because that song just hits different. It's definitely, as morbid as this sounds, it's definitely going to be my funeral song. Then I'll probably go in with some The Beatles, see 8 Days a Week, love that. Got to chuck some Elton John in, Elton John, Rocket Man, for sure. Michael Jackson, of course. I'd be confused if he wasn't in everyone's top five. So I'd probably go Michael Jackson, Billie Jean, and then for my last, I'd probably shoot Let's go country. Let's go Kenny Rogers, the gambler.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Nice yeah. mixes. Most of them on my list. So I just need to add a couple. So that, thanks for the reminders. So guys, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So Paul, first, as a final message, what would you like to say to the audience?
I'd like to say thank you for listening, if you are still listening. and please check us out. Another state. We've got some great songs coming your way. We've got a few out already. Yeah, please check us out.
Dave, anything to add?
Just like Paul said, thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. And yeah, we've got so much exciting material that I'm really looking forward to sharing with everybody. So check us out at Another State Music and give us a follow.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.